shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
No, well, I didn't really want to be here, so I was made to be here. So, obviously, I'm just, like, wanting to get this over with.
Our population and our use of the finite resources of planet Earth are growing exponentially.
They're not thinking about the students first. And that's the whole reason why we're here.
The average death rate in the city during normal times is between 360 to 380 people.
I am gay.
I'm not gay.
Nappy is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we'll go through the looking glass, where we'll go through the down through the rabbit hole and, you know, all kinds of places to find it, but most especially just to find a good time. Welcome back to the show here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and our online presence can be found at philhendryshow.com. This is where our website resides. This is where you get a backstage pass. You watch the live streaming video. You listen to the live streaming audio. You get all of the archives. You can access the iTunes podcast. You can just access the podcast, man. Every show is an automatic download there. We also have three times a week our classic Phil clip, which is free for our non-backstage pass people. I was going to say subscribers, but...
You're not a subscriber if you don't...
If you don't subscribe.
Yeah.
And of course, we have smaller clips. We don't know what to call those yet. Those are there, too. So there's just a bunch of stuff there, and it's good stuff. It's Phil Hendry Show stuff. We've had so many people talking to us about, when are you going to get an iPhone app? Well, all right, we'll work on that. When are you going to get a... we've solved the iTunes and the download thing. We got that going on. We're loading in more and more months of years that we were missing. 2001, that's in the archives. We're making them downloadable, all right? So more and more of our archive material is now can be turned into a download. And we might make that available on our podcast as well at some point, full shows or full hours. But, you know, we're humping as fast as we can. But as I said in our pre-show, with the amount of material that we have, no other radio show deals with as much material as we do. So I think we're doing okay, you know.
Yeah, you talk about people complaining about it, man. I just have to sit and wait.
Well, I'm not asking people to sit and wait. Oh, speaking of not having to sit and wait, you know, this is the 20th year of the Phil Hendry Show. We're concluding our 20th year. 1990, August of 1990, we started at KVEN Radio in Ventura, and we began blowing people's brains apart back then, and we went from there to Atlanta. And from Atlanta, we went to Minneapolis. And from Minneapolis, we went to Miami. Great days in Miami. And not so great days in Minneapolis. But hey, and then we came out to Los Angeles. And what a trip. And we've been here, and we've been national for like the last 10 years, something like that. So this month marks our 20th anniversary. What we're going to do is have a one-man show. And we're going to have that sort of coincide and dovetail with a party. And we're going to have a signing, and we're hopefully we'll have our merchandise up and running by then. But we'll give you more details on that as we get closer to it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And the couple of stories that where is this stuff, man? I don't mean to be freaking out on you, man, but I was going to start off talking about what? I have no idea. And my producer ain't helping me either. What story were we going to talk about? I guess he's asleep. all right, tell you what we'll do. Why don't we just go with murder? I forgot. I had a story all picked out, and I completely forgot. Well, here's this one here. The large knickers on Granny. I don't know why that story is important, but, you know, this is really weird, man. What happened here?
I don't know. What do you say?
I don't know, but you know what? My producer is in Medford, Oregon, or wherever, and people need to wake up a little bit and let me know what's going on. Large knickers, a.k.a. Why am I reading this stupid stuff? Get this. Oh, God. All of a sudden, I'm in a bad mood, man. All I wanted to know is what story are we going with, and I got to sit here for 10 seconds waiting for somebody to wake up to give it to me. All right. 10 psychiatric disorders. I got all of them. Number 1, hysteria. I don't know why we're even doing this story. the top 10 most controversial psychiatric disorders.
Yeah, well, this might be interesting, because you're right, you may have all of them.
Number 10, a la David Letterman, hysteria. In the Victorian era, hysteria was a catch-all diagnosis for women in distress. The symptoms were vague, discontentment, weakness, outbursts of emotion, nerves, and the history, I can't even read this. I apologize, folks. I got into the hour feeling fantastic. All of a sudden I go, oh, where's my story? I don't know where the story is. I don't know what people are telling me. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's telling me anything. I can't read this garbage that was just sent me via IM because it's not written well. So we're just going to continue talking about stuff that isn't in the news. How about that? Okay.
What's the matter?
There's nothing the matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're looking all pissed off now.
I'm not pissed off. I'm not pissed off at all. I'm not pissed off at all. I'm fine, okay? I'm just not going to do any news, all right? We're going to forget about it. Just forget about it. There wasn't anything that happened today anyway, man. There was absolutely nothing that happened in the world today of any serious note. Nothing. How do I know? Because I've been reading this crap since it got sent to me this afternoon. There's nothing in it. Anyway, so what we want to do is have a 20th anniversary.
Well, you're going to do like a whole promo?
That's what I'm going to do, bud. That's what I've decided to do. We'll just wrap up this segment with doing the promo, and then what we'll do is we'll get our heads out of our asses, and we'll try this all over again in the next segment.
Yeah, but now you sound like you're all pissed off.
Just take it easy, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to have a 20th anniversary. We'll do a one-man show. We'll do some CD signings. We have all of our classic CDs. That is our CDs from, I hope we've got some of our Miami CDs, as a matter of fact, going all the way back to 1994. We'll do some signings there. And we'll do it in a place that's conducive for having a good time. And that's a part of our 20th anniversary celebration. So there's a lot of stuff that we have going on, including getting our merchandise store up and running again, and so on and so forth. All right, we'll take a break. 877-876 World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the World Famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here now. 877-876-PHIL. It must have been a confluence of things. The story sucked, and I didn't have the title in time, and, you know.
Well, don't yell at anybody. Figure it out.
Well, don't you yell at me.
Yeah, but he's right, man. You got to figure it out or not.
What am I supposed to figure out?
Well, what do you want to read?
I didn't know. That's why I was asking you guys, and you guys didn't say anything. You're staring at me with a bulkhead stare.
All right, read this here.
Stick it on the microphone like that? What is this?
About some guy on a rag.
Parents who... this is the one that I was looking for, man. Parents who smoke around kids are child abusers, according to a British doctor. All right. Parents who smoke around kids are child abusers. Parents who smoke in cars in front of small children are committing a form of child abuse, said some douchebag in Great Britain. He's a leading GP, they tell me. His name is Professor Steve Field. He's chairman of the Royal College of General Practitioners, whatever that is. And he's condemned society's attitude to food, alcohol, and cigarettes, and him. He condemns society's attitude toward him, Professor Stephen Field. Anyway, in a letter to the Observer newspaper, he said, parents who take more responsibility for their children's health and set a good example are far, far better at a cut above. And the editor said, all right, let's put that in the paper because this pain in the ass is just going to write again next week. Okay. He said irresponsible behavior led to high levels of disease and early death. He called on parents, mothers-to-be, the obese, smokers, and drinkers to turn into healthy role models for their children. Professor Field, who represents 42,000 GPs across the UK, added, I suppose the same people who smoke at home in front of their children This is what he said. I suppose the same people also smoke at home in front of their children. Oh, okay. He called on parents, mothers-to-be, and the obese smokers and drinkers to turn into healthy role models for the kids. All right. I wanted to mention this story because I think that I am the poster child of bad lungs. I, honest to God, not anymore, because I gave up smoking at the end of December. But one of the things that I have not become, nor will I ever become, is a reformed smoker. I'm not going to be a pain in the ass to people that smoke. I'm not going to walk up to total strangers and tell them to put it out, risking death, risking getting a shiv in the ribs. Hey, you shouldn't. Yeah, I shouldn't what? I'm not going to wave my hand in front of my face like a rude, obnoxious bastard. That's not what I'm going to do. And I'm certainly not going to let my friends enjoy their tobacco. I'm not going to not let my friends enjoy their tobacco if they so choose. So if they're at my home and they want to smoke, I don't smoke inside the house. And that's the only place now where I prohibit smoking because I do want to keep the joint smelling fairly decent. You know, that way I'm not around it all the time, right? And people respect that. They go outside and smoke. I got very nice balconies. They can stand on the balcony and look at the ocean, whatever the hell they want to do. But people who smoke, friends of mine who smoke, I don't say to them, you know, why you do that? You know, I quit. You should quit because I quit. I don't think you should quit because I quit. I quit. But you don't have to quit. You quit when you want to quit. Now, I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley. The San Gabriel Valley is the northeastern valley from the city of Los Angeles. There's another valley called the Valley, some people call it, but it's called the San Fernando Valley. And that's kind of in the northwesterly section of the city of Los Angeles. If you look at Los Angeles, had two mouse ears on it, like a Mickey Mouse hat. One, the right mouse ear would be the San Gabriel Valley, and the left mouse ear, sort of, would be the San Fernando Valley, both of which are smog pits. Smog pits. They are large collecting stations for smog, foul air, dirty air, all that stuff, right? Now, I grew up at a time when we didn't have the light to moderate, we didn't have the air quality stuff that we have today. We didn't have cats that were judging the particles per, square inch in your rear end or whatever.
Particles square inch in your rear end.
Don't play it back to me, man. You know what I'm talking about. What we had was just the, air pollution control district. The guy would say, today it's light to moderate eye irritation from smog. Well, light to moderate eye irritation from smog, I'm riding my bike home from school and I can't breathe.
You had to ride up a hill and everything, too.
Yeah, I rode up a hill. I went to school at Holy Angels, and I had to ride all the way up Baldwin, which was right past Santa Anita Racetrack. I had to ride up Santa Anita. As a matter of fact, when I rode my bike up near Santa Anita, that was the time when Willie Shoemaker, I think, was riding. I forget. Anyway.
You were really ride up Santa Anita?
Yeah, my route home from Holy Angels right there, which, by the way, if you saw the movie Seabiscuit, this is no big. This, I don't know if people...
No, go ahead, tell it.
Well, it's not in the movie. It's in the book, actually. But George Wolfe broke his leg, and they took him to a, quote, priest's residence across the street from Santa Anita. Well, that was the actual priest's residence for Holy Angel School, where I went to school. The school wasn't built until the 40s, but the Catholic Church was there. That was, Seabiscuit was running all through the 30s. Anyway, so... It be smoggy as hell, man. And
you just said black. You went it be.
Yeah, he made a mistake, man.
No, he's trying. You're trying to sound all hip hop and everything, so you can tweet with Game and Kate Stacks.
Will you shut up about Cat Stacks?
Yeah, no, I know that Cat Stacks was tweeted by Dr. Turner.
That's the guy that's tweeting Cat Stacks. Will you forget about her? Anyway, so. It was a smoggy, smoggy time, man. In the 60s, I'm riding my bike. So there I am. I'm sucking down that crap. In the summer, I'm breathing that rotten air. Then I started smoking when I was 14, just to make sure that everything was on its merry way. Not only was I breathing the smog of the L.A. Basin, never has a city sounded so unromantic when you say the L.A. Basin. The L.A. Basin with all of the dirty water in it and dirty air. And so that's how my life proceeded. And so you're talking about breathing smoggy air, some of the most unhealthful in the history of this country, right here in Los Angeles. And then I started smoking when I was 14, right? Okay. I played sports. I swam. I ran track. I didn't go to a hospital until just this past 6 months. I had pneumonia. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that I lived a relatively healthy life. In fact, I lived a damn healthy life for a guy that breathed all of that smog, smoked all those cigarettes, and I mean from 14 until I was 57, drank and partied and lived the life of the, you know, radio, you know, the radio star, such as it was or is. And I didn't hit the hospital until this past December, and it had to do with, you know, H1N1 pneumonia, and I quit smoking, and that was that. That's what got me to quit smoking. I quit smoking cigarettes not because they showed me a whole bunch of pictures of rotten lungs. I quit smoking cigarettes not because, I wanted to live to be a ripe old age and enjoy the beautiful flowers and the this and that. No, I didn't quit smoking because of that. I didn't quit smoking because of, I felt bad. I loved smoking. Loved it. Loved it. No, I quit smoking because after I had pneumonia, the thought of smoking a cigarette was overwhelmed by the feeling I remember having not being able to breathe when I was in the hospital. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. There's this really, really strong feeling for smoking.
You're saying that you really like to smoke, but the feeling about how you couldn't breathe made it worser.
Yeah,
exactly. So there's this really strong feeling for smoking. But there's a stronger feeling for, boy, did that feel like crap when I was in the hospital with an oxygen mask on. And that has kept me from smoking cigarettes ever since then. And there are days when, man, I could use a smoke. Like today, for instance, this being a Monday, oh, baby. Would I ever have liked to have a cigarette? But every time I think about smoking that cigarette, I think about how my lungs felt. I think about how I couldn't get up and walk around without hacking my guts up. I think about not being able to breathe. I think about hearing that damn alarm going off, man, because the oxygen in my blood was below 90%. I think about going down. I think about being wheeled down that corridor, not having the strength to even walk to the X-ray place. They had to wheel me down there and help me get out of the wheelchair and stand in front of that X-ray machine. That's how weak I was. They had to help me stand up.
You didn't tell me about that, man. You were bad off.
Bad off? Yeah, I was bad off. And then they'd sit me in the wheelchair, and here's where I got my first taste of what it's like to sort of be the guy in a wheelchair in the hallway that they forgot about, because I was the guy in a wheelchair in a room that they forgot about, not for very long, because I made sure they didn't forget about me, but they sort of, they parked me. And they'll do that. They go, okay, I'm all done with this guy, so I'll park him here in the place where you park people, because the guy that comes here for the people that are parked, he'll be here to take the people that are parked back to where they're supposed to go. So you get done with the whoever wheeled me down there, man, you know, and then the X-ray people do the thing. Then they take you and park you, and they don't tell you anything, man. It's just, you're parked. And I felt parked, and I remember thinking, aha, so this is how it feels. All those stories about being parked in the hallway of a hospital. Here I am. I'm parked. And so, I turned into, Tony Soprano.
You start being a pain in the ass, that'll get people moving.
Well, I did. So I'd be like, hey, you, wheel me out. Well, where are you going, sir? It doesn't matter. Just get me out of here. That's right. Come on. Well, they'll be bound to get you. No, you're a big, tall, strapping guy, man. Go ahead. Push me back to the room. What room are you in? I'm in room something or other. Take me to the elevator. Get me the hell out of here, please. You know. And then when I finally got out of the hospital, I was in there for a week. And brother, I easily could have stayed another week. That's how crappy I felt. But I wanted out of there so bad. Oh, God, I never wanted out of a place. And I, my hat's off to the greatest hospital in the world, St. John's in Oxnard, California. The best. And that all these cats knew me, man. These respiratory therapist guys?
Yeah.
They'd listen to my show. Some kid came in my room. He was studying in medical school to become a cardiologist. He listened to the show. And all these guys would stop by and say, hey, Phil, I used to listen to you here. They'd stop by. We'd sit and watch George Lopez together or something. And they go, all right, well, we got to go home now, Phil, because we're healthy and you're not, and you have to stay here. Thanks a lot. Okay, bye. But parents who smoke around kids, that's up to you. That's up to you. That's up to you. But I will tell you this much. My parents smoked around me. I breathed the smog. I smoked the cigarettes. I liked the cigarettes. I quit. It took pneumonia, but I quit. Keith Olbermann gets booted by Sunday Night Football on NBC. Like you knew that was coming, didn't you? Coming up next, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You know, I must be flipping my lid. You know what? I shouldn't even get involved in this crap.
Yeah, we do nostalgia and everything.
What do you mean nostalgia? Nostalgia?
Well, who cares about Partridge?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get bogged down in this, man. You got to move on.
I ain't getting bogged down in nothing, man. I just was wondering what was that stupid-ass show that Bobby Sherman was on. That's all.
Nobody ever heard of Bobby Sherman, man. You better move on, man.
You're getting bogged down.
Hey, will you knock it off with the bog down, okay? So I blew the first quarter hour of the show, or not the show, this hour.
You gotta watch your language, too.
Yeah, Mr. Hall's been talking about it.
What do you mean, watch my language?
You're talking about you blew the first quarter hour.
Will you guys shut up, man? I said I blew the first quarter hour, as in it wasn't the best quarter hour because I didn't have those stories stacked up. You guys should have helped me with that. All I'm asking, man, what was the name of that jackball show that that clown did with Meredith Baxter? The Monkees?
Wasn't that it?
No, that wasn't it. I forget. Never mind. Screw it. I thought he was in one of them shows where they had a singing family. I guess I'm wrong. Because somebody was asking, who was Meredith Baxter? I said, she was part of my generation. She was an actress. She's doing these commercials now to help you have a regular bowel movement. I mean, it's sad, man. It's sad.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about cats that I used to see who were, you know, lively and young and, you know, they were rocking the world. And now they're doing, hey, would you like to have a healthier bowel movement? Hi, I'm Meredith Baxter. Remember when I was a piece of tail? Not anymore.
Yeah, anyway, I think she went labian.
Hey, bud, what did I tell you about that?
We're kidding around.
Lesbian. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a look here at the big story of the weekend, or so you'd think. I think a lot of people are excited about this. I got kind of excited about it, although I feel bad. Although it was a no-brainer. It was a call that should have been made a long time ago, and it wasn't. And I made the call, as did a lot of people. A lot of cats that don't like Olbermann's politics. See, Olbermann's politics got nothing to do with this. This has to do with what is NBC trying to do when I want to watch football on the weekend and I got to look at Olbermann doing the halftime show. He's doing the football reporting. So I got to look at that stupid, silly clown after I've been listening to his bullcrap all week. Fine, I don't listen to it, whatever. Now my beloved football, the game that I watch, that I enjoy, that millions of American men watch and enjoy, our beloved National Football League, and I got to look at this guy's face again? Why? What's the point? And then this guy he's sticking his politics in there. He's talking about Limbaugh and the Iraq War. So NBC, and this was NBC's doing. This is the network that once upon a time had shows like Seinfeld, had shows like Frasier, had shows like I guess that's it. But
well, I had more than that.
Nah, I'm kidding. No, but this was a network at one time. In other words, what I'm trying to say, a network at one time that knew what it was doing. This is NBC, man. This was the network with Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen doing the football games, huh? Huh? Don Crickey and Charlie Jones and all of them guys and John Brody. NBC, they used to do the AFC games. Then they did the AFL games before that. This was a great football network. And what happened? They got outbid by CBS for the AFC games. Okay, fine. It's a new era. It's a new time. I get it. CBS got outbid by Fox for the NFC games. I get it. It's a new era. It's a new time. Fox, quite frankly, has hit the ball out of the park covering the NFC. They have kicked ass. I don't think anybody knew that Fox would do this tremendous a job covering football. I mean, they've made CBS look, as it should look, like just this geriatric pit, like a place where old football announcers go to rot. But that left NBC out in the cold. So what did they do? Well, they somehow got a hold of this Sunday night game. Because I guess this is the money. I guess this Monday night football was so thoroughly destroyed by ABC. So thoroughly and completely ABC didn't understand what it had. ABC didn't understand the formula. Let me tell you what and I understand that America's tastes in terms of primetime became extremely varied, very enriched, all kinds of things to do, all kinds of things to see. Monday Night Football, however, had a particular formula, and that was very, very colorful commentators and a very, very, staid and steady and dependable play-by-play guy. That was Frank Gifford and then the other two guys. Okay. Now they hire this cat, Al Michaels. That was mistake number one, and that turned out to be the last mistake that they would ever make, because I think, and I will tell you this, he's the reason why that thing went under, because Al Michaels didn't understand his role as a play-by-play guy. Al Michaels thought he was a comedian. Al Michaels is what sunk Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller would have been fine if Al Michaels would have shut up. Oh, my God, did he ever shut up? Did Al Michaels ever shut up? Did you ever just call a play, Al? Did you ever just let Dennis Miller have one line, just one line, without trying to top him? Not one thing could Dennis Miller say on Monday Night Football that Al Michaels didn't have to come along and screw up, make less funny. All he that one moment in the Olympics in 1980, it doomed everything after that. When he said, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. And every television sports executive in the world said, "I gotta have him, I'll sleep with him, I'll go gay for him, how do we hire Al Michaels?" And they did. And from that day forward, Monday Night Football was doomed. But has anyone anywhere taken a once proud sports division like NBC's and made it into the joke that this current regime at NBC has done to what was once a tremendous, tremendous network when it came to covering professional football? I mean, NBC put the American Football League on the map. They continued the excitement through the 70s of the AFC and through the 80s and the 90s, pretty much through the 90s. And like I mentioned, all the guys, that they brought us, the play-by-play guys, it was just fantastic. It was great. Great games. Great games, great coverage. But they lost it. Now what did they do? They bring along Football Night in America, and as if they really want to just stick the hatchet right in the skull of what was once a proud tradition, they put Oberman in there. It doesn't. Forget about the fact that I don't like his politics. Let's talk about cats that do like his politics. Let's just say, all right, who's a guy whose politics I agree with for the most part? I don't know. I can't think of anybody,
Yeah, that's just it. Let's say you pretend like you agreed with Oberman.
All right. Even if I agreed with Oberman, I would still be bothered by him bringing up political stuff. I wouldn't like it. I would be, like, let's say I agreed with him about Iraq.
All right.
And he said, and Rush Limbaugh this and Rush Limbaugh that and the Iraq war. I'd cringe because I'd be saying, dude, wrong venue, man, because there's people here who want to relax. They want to watch the ball game. How could you be so stupid as to just talk football? Let's talk. This is a common denominator. This is a language we all understand. I may agree with Keith Oberman on a lot of things when it comes to football. But really, I mean, you knew it when you saw his ugly mug on the screen, okay? When you saw that stupid-ass, four-eyed look on his face, man, this is going to suck. Look at him. Boy, I'll tell you, and NBC, you should have known this. I'm not a regular TV viewer, but I do believe that my reaction in this one instance was like every other man's in America, every other football fan's in America. When I turned on the playoffs and I saw Oberman during the halftime, I didn't see him in the pregame, I saw him in the halftime, I said to myself, oh, you bastards, you have ruined halftime. I can't watch this. I can't watch this guy. Well, finally, after, sticking their fingers in the light socket one too many times, after putting their hands, their bare hands on the Red Hot Kettle Barbecue, after putting their hands into the fire, NBC finally figured it out. Cable news commentator Keith Olbermann has been yanked off NBC's Sunday Night Football. I was going to continue.
Oh, man, you got to watch that, man.
I said, I'm reading it, aren't I? Yanked off of NBC's Sunday Night Football this year, according to reports.
What if they're lies?
If they're lies, I'm still going to report it as if it's true. Olbermann's MSNBC bosses are said to be behind the move to remove him from his high-profile spot on the pregame show. Football Night in America was the name of the show, and they were complaining that it was distracting him from his job on the cable news network. Basically, what that meant, Keith, if they're telling the truth, is that your show, while it already sucks, was getting even worse with you being on that football show. That's what they're saying. Your show sucked. We could have told him that. Olbermann missed several Friday night editions of his MSNBC show Countdown because of his commitment to the football show, and NBC news execs were unhappy. These are the same guys that gave him the green light to work on this show. Are you guys stupid? Yes, thank you. NBC officials assured reporters that Olbermann's florid left-of-center politics and tendency to rant against Republicans is not the reason he's being yanked. That's a lie. That's a lie. It was simply that his new cable bosses did not want the conflict any longer between his cable job and the Sunday night game. Let me tell you what happens, guys, because I've been in these conversations. And it goes like this. Okay, we're getting rid of blah, 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 blah. How do you want to spin this? How do you want to... Well, let's just say that's how it goes. It's as simple as that. It happens all the time. It happens at radio. It happens in TV. And it happened here. Got to get him off that show. Yeah, how do you want to spin it? Well, let's say that, you know, it's taken away from his commitment. That's a good one. Okay. Web detractors have taken to online message boards claiming his politics did get him yanked from the pre-show. Phil Hendry, disguising himself, Olbermann, 51, has been appearing in one capacity or another on the Sunday night game since 2007, trying to fit in, trying to find a place where he wouldn't be such an irritant, not only to the viewers, but to his co-hosts. And it didn't happen. He's been the host of Countdown since 2003, in case any of you forgot. Olbermann couldn't resist a cheap shot at Sarah Palin during last year's Sunday night football coverage, wrote a blogger on humanevents.com, a conservative website. When Trent Edwards was carted off the field in a game against Arizona due to a concussion, Olbermann reported the quarterback was okay otherwise, but he said, "I can see Russia from here." God, dude, you know, how is it that Dennis Miller is no longer...
Yeah, see that compared to Dennis Miller, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean compared to Dennis Miller? I mean... Dennis Miller was funny, man. I don't need to compare him to Keith Oberfreak to figure out that he's funny. Anyway, NBC officials yesterday did not respond to several emails asked for comment. The Sunday night game is NBC's highest-rated program, and losing his weekly spot will mark the end of the promotion his cable show has been getting over the past 3 years. That the other thing is, they do research, you know.
They probably did a focus group.
Exactly. They do focus groups, and they will show people. This is how they do focus groups. And there's two kinds of recall. There's aided and unaided recall. Aided recall is, what do you think of Keith Olbermann? Unaided recall is, what do you think of the pregame show? And aided recall is, it helps the individual. Unaided recall can really help or really hurt. With unaided recall, you ask this question. What do you guys think of the pre-show? And if they say the following thing, I like it, except that one ass Olbermann, that's bad, because that is not aided. That came to that person's mind without any prompting. And I got money that says that's what happened. What do you think of that pregame? Yeah, it's great, except Olbermann, man, I'm going to go out and commit homicide. I'm going to go to an old folks' home, and I'm going to kill that guy with the beard that does that childfund.org thing on late-night TV. Who is that guy? And people will say, huh? Coming up, a Georgia area pastor is upset with the local high school's mascot. What is it? Beelzebub. Yeah. 877-876-PHIL. Another week. Another 50 cents. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Whoa! You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, talk about that.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bud Dickman just actually said to me with a straight face, he's so ready for the new season of The Colony.
That show, you don't know anything about how life, that's the way it's going to be.
That show is the worst.
Yeah, I got to agree, man. I don't like that show at all. You know what? The reason I don't like that show is because, first of all, it's too stupid, like contrived, like they're going to be diseased and everything.
That, you know what? They're trying to set up a premise that you can't set up.
What are you talking about, man? It's the end of the world.
You can't set up the end of the world, man. You can't do it. Okay, here comes some people. They may have disease. You know, you can't do it. You can't do that. You can do Survivor. You can do a lot of things. End of the world, no. And you want to know something? This is the second season. The first season stunk. This one's going to stink it out even more. Why do you think it's... Well, I shouldn't say why is it on Discovery. I happen to like Discovery.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that, man. You watch them all the time.
I like Investigation Discovery. I don't like the regular Discovery.
What's the difference?
Investigation Discovery's got all those murder stories and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the other Discovery... I don't know what the other Discovery has. And I like the Military Channel, and that's about it. All right, Warner Robins, Georgia pastor Donald Crosby arrested after an anti-demon mascot protest at high school. Please understand as I read this story to you folks, I want you to hear this story from a different perspective. I want you to hear this from the very legitimate, I do believe this, the very legitimate need of a Christian pastor, a Pentecostal or fundamentalist, if you will, pastor, who needs to get a flock. He needs to advertise himself. He needs to let people know who he is. He needs to let people know where his church is. He needs to let people know he's in business, and he wants people to come, not because he's a money grubber, but because he needs to have people. He needs to get the, pardon my French, he needs to get the asses in the seats, because churches are just like ball, they're like ball clubs in a lot of ways. You know, if you don't get the fans out, man, they're going to move the team. So if you think of the, if you think of your local church as like a baseball or football franchise, you know, well, I can't, you know, our attendance last year, I'm going to move down the road, man, go to another church. So this guy, his name is Donald Crosby, and how is he going to get people for his church? He's going to stir up a problem with the local high school, Warner Robins High School. That's the name of the town, Warner Robins. They got some towns in the south. They got towns, they got a place in Florida called Dr. Phillips.
Yeah, they got a Dr. Phillips, California.
No, we got a Phillips Ranch, don't we?
Yeah, Phillips Ranch.
See, I don't know. For some reason, it makes more sense if you put ranch at the end of it. But if you just say Dr. Phillips, Florida, Dr. Phillips what?
That's his town.
He founded the town?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, usually when you found a town, they call it Phillips, Florida, okay?
Yeah, well, not really. Not really. What about George Washington?
What about George Washington, man?
They don't call it George Washington. They call it Washington.
All right, well, okay, not that one, but, all right, San Francisco.
What about St. Francis?
Yeah.
That ain't his first name. He was a saint.
Yeah, but still, see, you're saying that...
Oh, forget that I even brought it up, bud. Never mind. Warner Robins, Georgia pastor Donald Crosby. A pastor was arrested on Monday. Thank you. Now then, no, I'm kidding. A pastor was arrested on Monday for protesting Warner Robins High School's demon nickname and mascot, and he says he was just standing up for Jesus, and he'd do it again. Pastor Donald Crosby, not to be confused with Bing, said the school's demon logo just encourages children to evil. With a straight face, he said, quote, I don't scare easily. Lock me up as many times as you have to lock me up. Even kill me if you have to. I'm standing up for Jesus. End quote. He criticized other Christians who he says are singing in church while their children are being taught to praise demons. Demons aren't lazy. Christians are, he said. Well, I'll give you that, Pastor. That's probably true. All right, here is Pastor Donald Crosby telling WMAZ-TV in Warner Robins, Georgia, why he's upset with Warner Robins High School's mascot. I'll bet you he was excited to be on WMAZ.
We have been protesting against their demon. They have a mascot that is a demon.
Uh-huh.
As a pastor, yeah. I was concerned about that.
Of course.
That children would gather hundreds in a building at one time shouting, go demons.
Yes.
Children who may not ever say Jesus, and that's fine, but if they're not going to be able, they're not going to be allowed to pray in school, I don't think they should be forced to become a demon by zoning.
Yeah.
And so we've been fighting that.
And what do you think?
Crotch grab.
All right. Now here is Pastor Crosby. He was arrested for not having a permit to protest near the school. He explains why he didn't think he needed one. Do you need a permit to protest the demon? I don't think so. I agree with him.
So we didn't know that we needed a permit, but so that might be on our part, whether or not we knew we needed a permit. But I don't think I needed a permit to agree with God. When Jesus Christ says something is right, something is right. And now we have to go through all these systems only because we're not demons. They don't need a permit to shout, go demons.
Now, what did the devil say?
You blew it!
Exactly. Here is Pastor Crosby.
What are you doing?
Here's Pastor Crosby's take on Christians who didn't join him in the protest and claim he's willing to die for the cause.
When demons are riled up, they do whatever they got to do.
Right on.
Evil is busy, and they work hard, and they're not lazy. Evil's not lazy. Christians are. Christians staying in a church hidden, singing on choirs, while they got our children praising demons and singing to demons and all that stuff. I'm not going to stay stuck in a church anymore, scared. As a matter of fact, they didn't stop nothing, because I'm still going to open my mouth. I don't scare easily. They didn't stop nothing. Lock me up as many times as you need to lock me up. Even kill me if you have to. I'm standing for Jesus Christ, because if I live for him and I die for him, then I want to be
Phil Hendry.
You blow.